Easter. Hallelujah. It is Easter. Hallelujah. Life overcomes death. Hallelujah. Tiny, tight buds emerge on thin branches. Hallelujah. Green shoots burst from the cold earth. Hallelujah. The young gods of Christianity and other faiths die and return, blessing all the people with love and hope. Hallelujah. Joy overcomes sorrow. Hallelujah. Hope drives away despair. Hallelujah. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my pleasure to serve this joyful congregation. You are welcome here. If your spirits are low this morning, or if you are joyful, you are welcome. If you are feeling despair in your life, or if you feel hopeful for love in this world, everyone is welcome. No matter who you are, no matter how you feel, you're welcome here. For those of us who are here, if you haven't had an opportunity, it would be great if you turned your phones off or put them in airplane mode. That really helps with the bandwidth for people who are live streaming from home. So that's our gift to them. After the service at 11:30, there's going to be an Easter egg hunt for children. There's going to be coffee hour online. The link was in your email that you got this morning. If you didn't get that email, you can sign up with our administrator, Pat Lycan, at admin@woof.org and get on the email list. It is okay for us to have coffee hour now in this congregation, but we need people who will organize it, make it, and clean up from it. So if you want coffee, that's what we have to do. All right, welcome this morning.
Comes from John Bannister Tab. Out of a dusk, out of the dusk, a shadow, then a spark. Out of the cloud, a silence, then a lark. Out of the heart, a rapture, then a pain. Out of the dead, cold ashes, life again.
during Holy Week, the week before Easter, many Christian churches hold a special service called Tenebrae, which is Latin for darkness. During this service, as the story of the last days of Jesus' life is read out loud, candles are gradually put out till the church is in total darkness. After a loud noise sounds, symbolizing the closing of Jesus' tomb, people leave in silence. 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, candlelight returns to the church. Tenebrae services remind us that Easter hope arises out of real pain, and that life's affirmations are often made in the context of difficulty and sorrow. Today, as we not acknowledge the very real struggles we humans have trying to live together in peace, we recognize the power of love and hope to change the world for better, even as we understand that life is full of both joy and sorrow. The story of Jesus is one way we can remember this. And on Easter, it is important to take time to tell the story of Jesus' life and ministry.
Easter is the time when Christians celebrate and remember the life and death of Jesus. Most of what we know about Jesus comes from 4 books in the Bible: the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. While all 4 Gospels tell some of the same stories about Jesus, there's a lot we don't know about him. We know he was important to people and that his ministry changed the world. But so much of his life is shadowed in mystery, and there are things about him we will never know.
One idea found in most of the stories about Jesus is that he was a very loving and caring person. It is written that he helped people who were sick to become well and strong. Throughout the Gospels, the writers tell us that Jesus stood up for people who were left out or picked on. The Gospel says that Jesus made friends with those disliked by other people, and that he taught his followers not only to love their friends and neighbors, but their enemies too.
Another thing people remember about Jesus is his courage. He spoke out against laws and people whom he did not think were fair and kind. He disobeyed some laws and tried to change them. He made both friends and enemies by his teachings and actions. He taught it takes strength and courage to stand up for what you think is right.
People who were inspired by Jesus became his followers. Some were called disciples. But even among Jesus' followers, there was disagreement. When Jesus came to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, one of his followers turned him over to his enemies. Jesus was arrested and sentenced to death by crucifixion, which was a cruel way that the ruling Romans put criminals to death. After he died, Jesus' followers were so confused, sad, and afraid that they didn't know what to do. Let us take a moment in silence for the fear and hate that causes people to do cruel things, and the sad and painful things in life which can leave us feeling so confused and frightened that we cannot help ourselves or the people that we love.
The story of Jesus does not end with his death, of course. Many Christians believe that on the 3rd day after Jesus died, now known as Easter Sunday, a few women, including his mother and Mary Magdalene, went to his tomb. They found that the stone used to block the cave where Jesus' body lay was rolled back, and the tomb was empty. Then they saw a man who told them not to be afraid, that Jesus was still with them. The women ran and told Jesus' other followers what they had seen. Later, they believed they saw Jesus again, and he told them to carry on his message by doing what he had done in his life. The early Christians carried on his work so it stayed alive and did not die with him. This is the miracle of Jesus' resurrection that is now celebrated in Christian churches on Easter Sunday.
When people really believe in something, it gives them hope and courage. When we are grieving and confused, sharing our memories and doing things that show our love and care for each other can help us feel better. Love is always stronger than hate.
Hope is always stronger than despair.
And life is always stronger than death. This is the Easter message. Amen.
Easter by the Reverend Kendall Gibbons. The humanist speaks of Easter. There are only two things we know for sure. One, they stashed Jesus's body in a tomb temporarily until they could get a chance to bury it properly. And when they came back, the tomb was empty. Make of that what you will. There are many possible explanations, some more likely than others. I don't believe Jesus came back from the dead. Neither did Martin or Malcolm. Neither did Viola Liuzzo or Frozan Safi, the women's rights activist shot by the Taliban in Afghanistan last November. Neither will dismembered journalist Jamal Khashoggi or Alexei Navalny when he dies in a Russian prison. Neither will documentary filmmaker Brent Renaud or photographer Maxim Levine, both killed by invading armies in the Ukraine. Kevin Strickland and Lamont McIntyre will not get back the stolen decades of their lives. I don't believe that the crucifixion is a story with a happy ending, or that it is a one-time event. It happens over and over as the human journey unfolds. It happens to us and to the people we love. It happens to the righteous and to the innocent. Crucifixion happens, and it feels like the end of the world every time. It feels like nothing could matter anymore, ever. And then, inevitably and miraculously, something happens next. Something happens. Of course it does. Because the world hasn't ended yet. It's not always an empty tomb. How trite would that become? Mostly beloved bodies just lie there. But sometimes something happens, and whether we want it or not, a new chapter begins. Maybe the sun comes up, or the lilies do. Spring rolls around. That happens. Or memories come, or someone needs you. You eat food. That happens. You walk down the road and share a recollection. Life happens, keeps happening. The dead don't rise, but we do. One day it happens, you take a breath, and it doesn't hurt to breathe. You start to see people again, really see them. Hope rises, community rises, you rise, we rise, life rises. Not because death isn't real, crucifixion is not just pretend, but something else is just as real, maybe even more real. Something happens next. This is the other thing we know for sure. Life rises. Outrage rises. Love rises. Faith rises. Tears rise. Hope rises. This I do believe.
is Rolling Away the Stone by Sarah Moores Campbell. In the tomb of the soul, we carry secret yearnings, pains, frustrations, loneliness, fears, regrets, worries. In the tomb of the soul, we take refuge from the world and its heaviness. In the tomb of the soul, we wrap ourselves in the security of darkness. Sometimes this is a comfort. Sometimes it is an escape. Sometimes it prepares us for experience. Sometimes it insulates us from life. Sometimes this tomb life gives us time to feel the pain of the world and reach out to heal others. Sometimes it numbs us and locks us up with our own concerns. In this season where light and dark balance the day, we seek balance for ourselves. Grateful for the darkness that has nourished us, we push away the stone and invite the light to waken us to the possibilities within us and among us, possibilities for new life in ourselves and in the world.
Rachinka's Eggs by Patricia Polacco. To Vladimir Posner and Phil Donahue for Bridges of Understanding. Babushka lived alone in a dacha, a little house in the country, but she was known far and wide for the fine eggs that she lovingly painted. Her eggs were so beautiful that she always won first prize at the Easter festival in Moskva. Each day, Babushka would take the shell of an egg from her basket and paint it in wonderful designs, using the shapes of stars and flowers, triangles and circles. Through the long, cold winter, Babushka painted. Then one day, after a snowstorm, Babushka went outside. She could still hear the faint sound of falling snow. It was a sound like soft rain. Herds of caribou came to feed at Babushka's because the grasses they usually ate were covered with snow. "A miracle," she whispered, and she fed some. "These wild things have found their way to me." Just then, a flock of noisy geese honked loudly overhead. As they glided over the snow, one of them faltered and fell from the sky. Babushka went to where the goose lay crumpled in the snow. "A hunter did this," Babushka grumbled. She carefully picked up the goose and took it back to her little house. There she fed the little goose from her own table and put the goose in her best basket lined with the warmest quilt from her own bed. "I shall name you a good name, one that we both can like, eh, my little friend?" she said as she patted the goose's head. "How do you like Rachinka?"
"Yes."
"Then Rachinka it shall be." With Babushka's care, Rachinka grew stronger as each day passed. To repay her kindness, Rachinka laid an egg for breakfast every morning. As Rachinka got better, she waddled around the little house, exploring every nook, cupboard, and corner. One day, she jumped on top of Babushka's work table, overturning the jars of bright colored paint that she used to color the eggs. "Nyet!" Babushka screamed as she chased the goose with a broom. "No!" The frightened goose flapped her wings to get away and knocked over the basket of eggs that Babushka had so lovingly painted. The eggs crashed onto the floor and shattered into millions of pieces. They were both very sad. There was no reason now for Babushka to go to the festival. The next morning, Babushka slowly got out of bed and trundled over to Rachinka's basket to get her morning egg. But when she reached into the middle of the quilt, she picked out the most brilliantly colored egg that she had ever seen. "A miracle," Babushka whispered. "A miracle." She made small holes at both ends of the egg and blew the yolk and white into a dish to cook and eat later for breakfast. Then she held the egg up to the morning light and marveled at its beauty. After that, every morning for 12 mornings, there was another egg, each more beautiful than the one laid the day before. Soon Babushka had enough eggs to take to the festival in Moskva. "How wonderful," she thought. "A miracle has replaced the eggs that were broken." "Spring is here, my little friend," Babushka said to Rachinka the morning of the festival. "Soon now you will be flying off to the north with your flock." She bustled to the hearth fire and brewed some of her most favored tea. The two shared a saucer of tea with kulik, a sweet Easter bread. She covered each piece with pashka, a spread of cheese, butter, and raisins. They savored each bit together. "One for you, one for me," Babushka chanted. "Da, da, my little friend. I shall sorely miss you, but you are a wild thing, and a miracle sent you to me. It would not be right to ask you to stay here with me forever." When Babushka left her little house, she took one last look at Rachinka sitting on the doorstep. She waved, then took determined steps for Moskva with the basket of her precious eggs. She crossed the Lebetov Valley where the caribou mothers were walking their newborn calves. "A miracle," she thought. "New little lives. A miracle." She crossed the bridge over the Moskva River, and soon she could see the onion domes of old Moskva. The festival was bright and exciting. There were goat carts selling kulik, processions, dancers, jugglers, and laughing children playing and running. Babushka showed her old friends the eggs. "Her eggs are the most beautiful in all Russia," they thought. "Look at them," the elder said. "They almost glow, as if the paint is part of the shell itself." The judges picked Babushka's eggs as the most beautiful. Babushka was so happy, she beamed as she looked at the first prize, a feather bed quilt. As Babushka made her way homeward, a honking flock of geese flew overhead. Babushka gave them a long, lingering look. She wondered if Rachinka was one of them. When Babushka arrived at her home that evening, Rachinka was gone. Alone, she put the new quilt on her little bed. She brewed a cup of tea, ate the last of the kulik and pashka, got into bed with her favorite book of poems, and drifted off to sleep. She hadn't noticed Rachinka's basket. But that night, Babushka was awakened from a sound sleep by an ever so small sound. It was coming from Rachinka's basket. She hobbled closer and saw a glorious egg, but this one was different from all the others. It quivered and moved. It made tiny, muffled sounds. They jumped, bumped, rolled, and pitched in the basket. Then there was a crack, and Babushka could see the very special gift that Rachinka had left for her. "All a miracle," Babushka said. And this little goose remained with Babushka always.
and my soul was so filled. This is the first time the choristers have sung in this space since March 8th, 2020, which was my installation where this wonderful congregation gifted me with this beautiful stole, which feels so bright for Easter this morning. Today, we are in the confluence of three of the most holy days of the Abrahamic faith. This doesn't happen very often. Muslims are in the midst of Ramadan, a holy month of fasting and reflecting on their spiritual lives and relationship with what they consider to be most holy. Jewish people are in the midst of Passover, where they celebrate their freedom from slavery in Egypt and their long covenant with God. And Christians are celebrating the miraculous return to the life of Jesus, to life of Jesus on this holy day, Easter. Ramadan, Passover, and Easter are all holy times that remind people of their essential connection to what is greater than themselves and to the stories and rituals these faiths offer to help us through the challenges of being human. And they matter deeply. Being human is to always grapple with the wonder of being alive and the truth of suffering. It is to make sense of the joy of love and the excruciation of betrayal. It is to find a way to manage the dual realities of the human compulsion to power, control, and violence, and the human capacity for love, kindness, and connection. Religious faith, stories, and rituals offer us paths to manage all these contradictions. Today at WOOF, we celebrate Easter as Unitarian Universalists living out our Christian faith usually do. Often Unitarian Universalists celebrate Easter as a festival of spring, such as humans in the northern hemispheres have been doing for millennia. The days get longer and warmer, the earth bursts with life, we decorate eggs, and children hunt for them. Our spirits may wither, the story tells us, but they will always bloom again. And for years, this has been my celebration of Easter, my favorite holy day. Ancient Mediterranean and Middle Eastern cultures are full of stories of gods dying and being reborn. They demonstrate an important truth about being human, that pain and loss happen. Ways of life die, but we are renewed. The story of the reborn Jesus is one of these stories, and it is a painful one, with crucifixion, violence, and betrayal. The story is centered on the destruction of human life because of an empire's desire for power and control, and for particular people's desire for power and control. This is the worst of humanity. And it is a true story that plays out millennia after millennia. We are seeing it right now in Ukraine. We see it in the continued killing of black people by the police, and the way black people are targeted for crimes white people often aren't even investigated or charged with. Jesus spoke against such violence. He sought a world where all were treated with care and love, particularly the poor and the oppressed. His words were so powerful and so nourishing that people flocked to hear him, and he was killed for this. This is a brutal fact, but it happens again and again to people who speak out against the entrenched powers and ask for fairness for all. Those who loved and followed Jesus were in despair, as we are every time this happens. And how do we recover from such despair? Those with power and means to commit violence can destroy. Most people have little control over such things. It devastates hearts and spirits and souls. But Easter, this is the surprise, when the pain is too much and we are locked in the tomb. And then the stone mysteriously rolls away. When we are in despair, the poet tells us, it feels like nothing could matter anymore ever. And then, inevitably, miraculously, something happens next. Something happens. Of course it does, because the world hasn't ended yet. The dead don't rise, but we do. Jesus' followers rose. They regathered. They ate together. The Spirit of Jesus among them, giving them strength. He was there. And does it matter truly if it was his love and ideas that were there or his body that was there? His followers kept his message alive, and 2,000 years later, we still know what he had to say. We know what he believed was the most important thing to do. To love what is holy and worthy with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. People rise from difficult and painful places. The Ukrainians have risen in the face of unspeakable horror. Black people in the U.S. keep telling the story of their worth and dignity and their right to joy and love in this life. The stone moves, and we come out of the tomb. And as the poet says, we invite the light to awaken us to the possibilities within us and among us, possibilities for new life in ourselves and in the world. This spring, I have experienced this. New life has surged in me as we gather in person. As we can sing together and hear the choristers. Sometimes we're able to take masks off, and people have come together in ways they have not in a very long time. Still, the anxiety of the past years clings to me as I stand in the tomb door, squinting into the light, listening as the world calls, "Wake, wake, wake up." The COVID numbers are heading up again, after all. I don't know what this means or how we should respond or how society will choose to respond. I am saddened, and I am sickened by war, climate change, and the world's lack of response, and the continued oppression of those at the bottom of the American hierarchy. Still, I can't deny it. Life is quickening in me. It is spring, full of color and light and joy as people are laughing and smiling and hugging. Life continues on in all of its blessings. Possibilities for new life, for new ways are emerging, some in bloom, some below the soil, just pushing out of the seed. It is like the moment in the story where the woman is blessed with a new baby goose as she grieved her friend who flew away with her flock. What will we do now? How will we respond? These are questions as we peer into this new world that is filled with the havoc of COVID and climate change. The terror of empire and of Mother Earth tossing with discomfort and the heat are here. They will always be with us. The illness of this virus or another will haunt us. So how will we rise, shaking free of fear and despair? How will we move into the beauty and the wonder of life, into the love of family and community. How will we resist controlling power and violence and hum instead the melodies of care, cooperation, and peace? Which possibilities for this new life will we nurture? Will you nurture? What will we grow in this new spring before us? What words will we say to inspire ourselves, each other, and generations after us? Or do Jesus' words say it all? To love what is holy and good and worthy with all our hearts and souls and minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Perhaps those words do. Perhaps. But for now, let us bask in this holy day, Easter, and feel our hearts, souls, and spirits rise into this new life and world.
Thank you.
The suffering of the Ukrainian people is weighing on all of our hearts. We will be giving away the offering once a month for the next 3 months to this tragic situation through giving to Mercy Corps. If you're giving to Mercy Corps by check, please make sure to make the check payable to WOOF and put Mercy Corps in the memo line. Mercy Corps is on the ground in Romania and Poland, assessing the most urgent humanitarian needs in Ukraine and the region. They anticipate providing cash assistance as well as supporting local organizations that know the community's needs best. Here is what they know right now. 2.9 million Ukrainians are already in need of urgent humanitarian assistance prior to the current escalation of conflict, and at least 1.5 million are displaced within their country. As the conflict expands across Ukraine, we anticipate a large-scale humanitarian crisis for the country beyond the scope of aid operations currently there. Mercy Corps is particularly concerned about the elderly, who make up one-third of people in need of assistance, and people with disabilities. Please be as generous as your heart and wallet allow.
Our benediction is from John Boughton. Shake out your qualms. Shake up your dreams. Deepen your roots. Extend your branches. Trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout, dance on the brink, run with the wildfire. You are closer to glory, leaping an abyss than upholstering a rut. Not dawdling, not doubting, intrepid all the way, walk toward clarity. At every crossroads, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your inevitable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes. Nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with big joy. Easter exultant. So we extinguish our chalice, knowing the flame of Unitarian Universalist is alive in our hearts and spirits, and so will continue to light up.